suspect allegedly on an anti-Muslim rant.
You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism.
Get out to the country that he doesn't like Muslim.
He stabbed them to death.
To stab them with it. Stab, stab, stab. Death by a billion cuts. So start shoving the knife in, ladies and gentlemen.
He stabbed them to death.
Oh, we will bring back Jesus on our shoulders to speak the word of God and erase all you fake Christians.
Giving a Nazi salute and yelling racist expletives.
I want all Muslims deported now.
You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You hear me?
Young women, one of them wearing a hijab, boarded the train, and Jeremy Christian immediately went on a hate-filled tirade.
I want my listeners to hunt them down.
Hey, knock your teeth out.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Deen Show. Abu Hafsa, how you doing? Nadir,
good,
you
bro.
Got it back again. How you guys doing?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you guys for stopping in, being with me here on the Deen Show. Abu Hafsa, we saw each other
few years back.
Yeah, how you been since then?
I'm good, bro.
You still wrestling?
Waiting to be on your show. No, I'm traveling, fundraising, doing all my stuff.
Yeah,
you know how it is. That's the kind of, I haven't wrestled in a while, but I used to do that.
That's, you still wrestling, right?
Yeah, I was a shooter in high school.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I was a shooter in elementary school,
which is
real wrestling, if you want to call it that. Then I was the first blind person to be accepted into professional wrestling schools. I did that for a little while too.
First blind person to be accepted into
Professional wrestling school. Yes, sir.
Now, is that like, when you say professional, is that like WWE or is that, yeah?
That style, yeah.
That style, okay. Yeah. How is that, is a lot of that stuff, you know, how much of it is fake? I mean, how much of it is real when you...
All the bruises I had were real.
Yeah.
There are certain things that are scripted.
Yeah.
Like the outcomes, and everybody knows.
But throwing each other, all that stuff is real. You, yeah, you know, exerting a lot of energy.
Man, yeah. I mean, if you pick someone up and slam them,
yeah,
you know, there isn't a whole lot you can do to fake that, you know?
Yeah, but there's a storyline behind it.
There's a storyline. The winners and losers have been selected based on that storyline.
So that's where it's fixed up.
Yeah, that's where it's kind of fixed up. It's more real than a movie, but less real than MMA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. What do they call it? Broadway with body slams.
Yeah, Broadway with body slams, huh?
So when you're out there, you know, you have to. And accidents happen too. People literally get hurt and the necks have been broken and people have been killed doing this.
So very dangerous, right?
It's very dangerous in spite of the fact that it's choreographed to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, your body is your body, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you picked, and the ring is made out of steel and wood, and you get slammed on that, it tends to hurt just a little.
They had a documentary on, they have several on many of these professional like stars that were with the WWE. Was it WWE? What's that? The main guy, Ed McMahon. What's his
name? Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon. I forget.
Ed McMahon is the guy. Yeah. You win prizes from him.
Yeah, Ed McMahon's
the
one with the prizes.
With the big checks.
With the big checks. Vince McMahon is the other one. Well, the wrestlers that were with his organization, many. I think there was Jake the Snake Roberts. Mm-hmm. And his life, they go, he was a big star. And many of them, you know, they end up turning towards drugs and alcohol, and they had the, you know, all the stardom and everything you can just imagine. But then on the flip side, many people don't see how they just come crashing down.
Well, yeah, because you're, let's say for example, you're on the road for them 220 days a year, right? You're on the road 220, maybe 300 days a year. You're traveling up and down and you're fighting every day. Like if you look at the average career of a boxer, Mayweather, what was it, 49-0?
Something like
career.
That. Yeah.
So he had 49 fights in his whole career. Professional wrestler, whether it's choreographed or not, has more fights than that almost in a month. So you can only imagine like 3,000-4,000 fights every day. Choreographed or not, your body is going through the motions of fighting every single day. So you have a lot of pain issues. You have a lot of pain medications that you need to take, or that you may need to take, and oftentimes you don't have a doctor prescribing them for you, at least not back then. So you take matters into your own hands and you self-medicate, which leads you to, like you said, your drugs and alcohol, and what you can't buy in the pharmacy, you buy in the street. So you know, it tends to spiral out of control for some people, and for others, it hasn't had that effect. But you're right; they tend to come crashing down, unfortunately.
Now, you said how many fights in a month that they would typically have?
Let me try to do it. About 20 fights a month, 25 20? Fights a month.
Wow.
And that's every day your body's getting slammed. Yeah. And then, like, for example, okay, you're going to be in Chicago on Monday night. So you wrestle at the United Center. Is it United Center still? Allstate Center, Allstate Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So you fight there, and then you drive 3-4 hours to another city, and then you fight there Tuesday, and then you fight 3-4 hours in another city on Wednesday. Then you go home for a couple of days, and then Friday it starts all over again. Like, it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous thing where you continually fight. And then if you get hurt, you jeopardize the other guy. Like, let's say if me and you are fighting on tour together, me and you, so right, me and Eddie, for a month, I get hurt the first night in. Eddie now doesn't get paid because I can't work.
Yeah.
So what do? I don't want Eddie to suffer because of me. So I end up having to work hurt, which requires medication, which sends us right back to our own demons and people spiraling out of control.
Yeah, and then really living for just, you know, that, okay, you're wrestling, you're a superstar, and that's all you're living for, people praising you, right? Yeah, you're fulfilling every lust and desire.
That's a problem.
But the heart and soul is empty.
That's a whole other issue
now, right?
Wow.
Right?
So now we have that. So you have all the temptations of the road, right? The women, the alcohol, the all that other stuff. And now the women are wrestling, so maybe the men are the temptations of the road. There's so many different stuff going on that, again, you're a star. You're a star today. Like, they had this one wrestler, and he always says, you know, I'm a star in front of everyone, but I wake up alone in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you have a lot of issues like that. You don't, and you believe what people say. Like, everyone's praising you that you're the best fighter in the world, when really you're not, because the winners and losers have been chosen for you.
Yeah.
So if you put some of them in a real fight, you get hurt, you know, because it's not exactly real. So if you believe that reality, then that's another issue that you have. You're not the best fighter in the world. You know, you beat me because I let you beat me. It might not work that way if, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I beat you because you let me beat you. So it may not work that way if we were alone and there's no crowd. So there's all these different stuff. And alhamdulillah, when I was in wrestling school, I was still speaking, and we could do another time probably my whole story. It's a whole different thing. But I was speaking in front of people, and I was working inmate facilities and different things of that nature, and I got accepted into professional wrestling school. So when I was there, I did about 2 months, 2-3 months in wrestling school, and my oldest daughter, Hafsa, my oldest blood daughter, I have a stepdaughter who's a bit older, but Hafsa is my oldest, and she was really missing me a lot. And then her mom calls me, and she says, well, you're about to be a dad again, and Nuseiba is my youngest, and she was coming. So I thought, okay, it's time to, like, you know, you made it to wrestling school. Maybe there's going to be another blind person that's going to take this a little bit further, but you have one daughter and one potential daughter that's going to really miss you a lot. So I came home and I stopped doing it.
So that's good. You ended up, you could have went down that direction, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Promoters were upset because I'm the, you know, the blind guy that can run the ropes and do all the different things that the professional wrestlers can do, and make it look semi-legit. Like, people wouldn't believe that I couldn't see. I would literally, because my eyes aren't real. They're prosthetics. So I would literally have to, like, take them out to show people, okay, I'm actually blind.
Yeah.
Because I could run the ropes and I could do these things that the sighted professional wrestlers could do.
You would have sold some big tickets, man.
I would have probably.
They would be able to promote you very well.
I'd be on the Dean Show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it, bro. I'm happy to be here, so it's all good.
You know? You would have been on the Vince McMahon ticket, right?
Maybe. But,
and many, maybe. Most people were in that line of work, or, you know, celebrities. Statistically, they have a greater chance. Their numbers of suicide are much higher. Many people, they don't understand that, because many people chase that dream. They want to be a star, and they forget about really seeking purpose. They forget about, you know, the most important questions in life, and they just chase that fame and that money and stardom. And you look at many of these people's lives, and at the end of the day, these people, they don't have what you found in Islam. Go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. One of the key, because I made my istikhara when I was in wrestling school. Salatul istikhara is when you pray to Allah and you ask Him, "Is if this is good for me, then let it be for me. And if it's not," and I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time, but I made my salatul istikhara, And I met this older professional wrestler who was, I was the ring announcer for the federation that I was training under.
Hold it right there. Don't lose your, we're going to take a break. We're going a little time. We're going to take a break and you continue right there. We'll be right back with this amazing two guests here. Don't go anywhere. Right back. Please don't forget to like and share. Also, do your best to help us reach our goal. For more info, check in the description below. And in the words of Jesus, Shalom, Salam, peace be with you. Back here on the Dean Show, Nadir and Bahasa, tell us. So we'll continue where you left off.
Well, I prayed my Salat al-Istikhara.
So you were, you're now
I was Muslim since 1996. Okay. I was always Muslim in professional wrestling school.
Ah, I see.
This was in 2005 when I got accepted into that finally. So I was Muslim already. I was Muslim for about 11 years, 9 years up until that point, actually. And I prayed my Salat al-Istikhara where I'm asking Allah, you know, if this professional wrestling deal is good for me, then allow it for me. If it's good for my dunya and my akhirah, for my current life and my next life, then allow it for me. And if it is bad for those two things, then not to allow it for me. And I met this older professional wrestler. So he's asking me, we're having lunch together before an event in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where I was working as the ring announcer, you know, the introducing the wrestlers, you know?
Yeah.
Right in this corner, this is Eddie. Right, that guy. I was that guy for a little while. So he brings me up and he goes, you know, you don't seem like you're stupid. So he said to me, literally, he said that. He said, you seem like you're kind of smart. So I want to talk to you about something. He said, do you have any kids? And I said, yeah, I got one. I got one on the way. He said, well, you may win a lot of belts in this industry, but one of the belts you'll never win is Father of the Year.
Wow.
Said, wow. Ouch. I don't like that. That's the only one I want. That's the only real belt I want. I don't care about anything else in this life anyway. I want Father of the Year, you know? I want Father of the Century if I could get it from my kids. So he, you know, he kind of ruffled my feathers with that one. And he said, you're going to travel up and down the road with these same guys. And they're going to become your family. And then, you know, you might make it. You might be among the 1% of us that actually makes it. Or you might be like me and tear your both meniscuses out and end up carrying bags for these guys. And that really hurt me because I'm a Muslim. I don't want to put my body through unnecessary hell just so that I can tear my both meniscuses out, which is your knee cartilage, and end up being a suitcase carrier for wrestlers. I don't want to do that. So that was my, to me anyway, that was the answer to my prayers, as it were, my istikhara. I booked my ticket. About 5-6 days later, I said goodbye to the promoters, and he got really upset because, again, like I told you, I was a meal ticket, potentially for him and for myself.
Yeah.
And he's like, just give me 10 years, bro. Please, like, just stay with us for 10 years. You're going to be able to buy all your kids anything that they want.
It's very tempting, like, huh?
Well, not really, because I'm thinking I don't want to take cortisone shots in 10 years.
No, but the way they sell it and the way they package it, you're going to be a star. You're going to buy all everything you want. You can have everything. And then the mind, you know.
And then you're going to do this and
so
this.
So imagine if you didn't have istihad. Imagine if you didn't have that connection to your creator, Islam, you know, that anchor, right, to go look back to.
Like, I know that Allah can give me much more than that without me having to tear my meniscuses out.
Yes.
All right. So I booked my flight and I went home, man, and I raised my kids. With the help of Allah, me and their mom are no longer together. Stuff like that happens, but we still get along and we're still raising our kids together. So that, there's that at least. And now I do this. I travel up and down the world, you know. I've been on every continent without having to wrestle and beat people up every day or get beat up every day. You know, we met a few years back, like you said. I've been to Africa. I got married in Kenya. I lived there for a year. Learned Swahili. Learned a bit more Quran when I was over there too. Gave some dawah there, Guyana, South America, all up and down the US and Canada and England and Ireland and Australia and all these cool places without having to do any of that. So Allah replaces something with something better. And perhaps you like a thing that's bad for you and perhaps you dislike something that's better for you. I didn't like leaving professional wrestling. I really didn't. But I like this a whole lot more because my knees are where they're supposed to be and my neck is where it's supposed to be. I'm not addicted to anything. Except maybe ice cream and coffee, alhamdulillah. So we're good in that regard. And I'm healthy. My brain is where it's supposed to be.
And you're doing something much more rewarding, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. You get to inspire people and invite them, whether they accept the invitation or not. to the worship of Allah, and that's really important. You know, you get to invite the people to the worship of the Creator instead of their creation. Mm-hmm. So you can have a lot of things in this life, man. Paradise is not going to be one of them, at least not while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you, you know, you could have the big mansion and the big house, and that's fine. If you get that in a halal way, mashallah. I don't like poverty, Eddie. I'm not a fan of poverty at all. But if the dunya, if this life is in your hands, don't let it be in your heart, you know?
Yes.
That's what's important. If you can, because the people who are wealthy can actually do what the famous people talk about. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I could tell you about building mosques. I can tell you about giving to the poor. I can tell you about donating to orphans. But the rich people can actually do that if their mind is in the right place. And that's the thing about Islam, is it gives you that priority. Yes, you have money here. A lot of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were wealthy, and they had money. They had immense wealth. And even people in history, Mansa Musa and people like that, had immense wealth. But it was in their hands, not in their heart. Jannah was in their heart. The pleasure of Allah was in their heart. And that was much, much more important for them than to have this, like, black credit cards and all these different stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you guys think now? You've actually went above and beyond. Both you guys, you have gone on to really study Islam in depth. I'm holding a book up here called, and I often tell people, look, you know, if you know the basics of Islam, if you don't, you know, and you think that Islam has something to do with much of this mayhem that's out there, the madness, you need to read The Complete Idiot's Guide to Understanding Islam. Because if you have a genuine understanding of the basics,
Guide to Understanding
Islam. Yeah, by Yahya Emmerich. It's a great,
the next book we have to put in Braille, man.
There you go, yeah, exactly.
I don't generally read books for idiots, but okay.
Yeah, but it's really basic. Because it's very important, you know, anyone who has the basic, essential understanding of Islam, you've gone above and beyond that, right? You lecture, you're on the lecture circuit, you talk with, you know, not yet Muslims.
Everybody who listen to me.
Everybody who listen, right? Both of you guys. But what now, when you have these obstacles in a way, things that happen that do not benefit Islam at all, that are against Islam, that Islam condemns? Recently, there have been some events that have happened again. And what are your thoughts when these things, when you're reading or, you know, you're listening to the news, and then you're like, oh man, don't let this be someone who's associated somehow with being a Muslim.
Well, that whole thing of like, most people, most common sensible people, they know that every way of life, every religion, you can name any of them, has cults and has bizarre people in it, for lack of a better word. We have bizarre Christians who thought slavery was a good idea at one point and brought, you know, 20 million Africans over here. And not only them, they brought Irish people over here. They did so many different things, and they don't represent Christianity, and we don't say that they did. We have Greenpeace people who will, you know, the people that like the trees?
Yes.
They will hammer nails into trees and then paint over it with green paint.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you come to chop the tree down, and you know anything about chainsaws, when a chainsaw hits a nail, that could kill you.
Yeah.
Right? So you have people like that who go above and beyond way too far. You have people who are orthodox, who think that anyone who isn't like them should somehow be killed or subjugated. And we don't believe that. And any common sensible person knows that if 1.6 billion people were to set it off, the world would not be the same. And that's something that people need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Muslims, especially us, in living over here in the Western countries, the one thing that we need to do more of, and I really call us on that, is giving back to the people that live here. People don't care how much you know, Eddie, until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out telling us, you know, telling people, you know, what Islam isn't terrorism, Islam isn't violent, Islam isn't mayhem, Islam isn't murder, Islam isn't this, isn't, well, okay, well, what is it then?
Yes.
What is it? Can you show us what it is? Well, Islam is the peaceful submission to the will of your creator. Okay, but what does that entail? It entails good deeds, fair enough. But then when the zakat comes around, most of it doesn't go to the American people that are around here that need it, that may need it. We have homeless people here.
Yes.
We have homeless Muslims here, you know. We have newcomers to the country who just got here, who don't have anything, and who don't have any way of helping themselves, and we need to help them. We have new converts, reverts, if you will, to Islam, that oftentimes get ostracized by their families and get thrown out and get left on park benches and things like that. We need to help them. I'm not against sending wealth outside the country, but I think more of it needs to be spent here for a couple of reasons. One, we live here, and we need to plant where we live, right? So the people can actually see what we're doing for them. We have thousands of mosques, quite literally. How many hospitals do we have?
Mm-hmm.
How many hospitals? We have umpteen thousand doctors. Everybody and their grandma is a doctor, right? In the Muslim community, right? Doctor so-and-so, doctor, doctor, doctor. And that's great. But how many hospitals do we have of our own? We have so many engineers. You could easily build a hospital in this country so that the people can come there and get state-of-the-art healthcare, mm-hmm. that they can get taken care of by the Muslims. You know, a Shifa Medical Center. What's wrong with that? The healing center, call it.
Yeah.
Because people sometimes get blown away by Arabic words. Call it the healing center.
Yes.
Healing hospital. Call it that. Allah is the one who heals, ultimately. But, you know, He gave us the ability to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to end up happening is if you're going to change the people's minds and their hearts, you have to do it with your efforts. Speaking is great. We have a job to do and we travel doing that. But at the same time, if the people aren't actually benefiting the society around them, then they have no real complaint when that society doesn't know them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's actions, huh?
Actions speak louder
than words. We're going to take a break.
Iman and actions.
We're going to take a break and be right back with more here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Caring is sharing. So like and share this video and support The Deen Show so that we can continue educating and sharing the message of peace, peace acquired by submission to the will of God, Islam, with the world. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Back here on The Deen Show, actions speak louder than words. It's very important what you just said. And have you had people that you've had a chance to talk with and they try to, you know, they've been manipulated by the propaganda? Have you ever had any stories and how any of you guys?
Last night,
yeah?
Yeah, I mean, some people...
Share with us what
some
happened.
Some people, they tend to read and believe what they read, even though it's... like part of verses or, you know, a segment of the Quran. Like if you want, there's an ayah that talks about وَقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to fight for the sake of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Now if I just leave it there, that's an open-ended statement.
Yeah.
Fight for the sake of Allah. Okay, well, who do you fight? وَقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Fight for the sake of Allah, those who fight you. So you have the right, even in this country, to defend yourself. Americans pride themselves on having that right. But that doesn't mean now you go to a concert and you harm 12-year-olds because you're upset with foreign policy. It doesn't mean you go to a bridge and harm people on that bridge, or you go to Manhattan and harm people in Manhattan. People in Manhattan aren't fighting with you. People in a concert aren't fighting with you. People standing on a bridge enjoying the night aren't fighting with you. So we like to say things and take them out of context, and this is what people have when they have their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Their anti-Islam agenda, as it were.
Yeah,
they don't like us for whatever reason, and this is their agenda, right? They want to build walls and ban people and make life difficult and interesting for 1.5 billion, you know, segment of society. So this is what ends up happening. So people, because the work is not being supported as much as it should, tend to get more of this than that. Right, so someone says something against Islam and he gets 5,000 retweets,
mm-hmm.
100,000 retweets in some cases. Someone puts an ayah of Quran, he's lucky to get 3 likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Muslims have to stop promoting this kind of stuff. You know, one of the easiest ways to get over in Hollywood is to make a film about Muslims, because Muslims will promote you for free.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims will get irate, get upset, flip out, start tweeting, start Facebooking about why the movie is racist, why the movie is anti-Islamic, why the movie is, which is interesting because we can't really be racist because we all represent every single race, but how the movie is Islamophobic and anti-this and anti-that. And then, of course, the Muslims are going to go, how is it Islamophobic? So what do? They put down their remotes, smartphones, they go buy a ticket to said movie and watch it. Now, we have a conference, let's say, coming up, let's say this weekend. Tickets are $25. Who's going to attend that conference? Unless there's free food, very few people will actually attend it. In comparison to the multi-million group of people that are going to come to Hollywood to watch You know, usually other actors who aren't Muslims portray us in a bad way.
Yeah.
So we have to start promoting this work and promoting it better than we've been promoting it,
right,
so that people will not be as confused as they were. And his story is quite common. I see it, you know, relatively all quite regularly wherever I go, where he'll say, the Quran tells you to kill. He'll tell you that. Quran tells you to kill. I said, yeah, but it also tells you to care.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, and I'm like, how can it be both? You know, how can it be both? So he starts asking questions, and Nader was talking to him as well. And we got him to an understanding where a lot of the confusion that he knows about Islam or thinks he knows about Islam is just that, and it's confusion.
Do you think most of these people like that you come across, they're getting their education from the
mainstream? They usually get it from a negative source.
From a negative source.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
The first problem, right?
Agenda. Yeah. Improper agenda.
So now you're hearing all of this false propaganda. You're getting your information from the wrong source, and now, of course, you've been misled.
As long as we're not talking to each other and letting people talk about us, we're going to have a problem.
What do you think? Obviously, we can't be naive to the fact that there are individuals, sick individuals, twisted individuals, and they
on both sides
that end up doing some things that obviously are against Islam. So Islam condemns these actions, the ones that you've
absolutely
mentioned. But tell me, can we be naive to the fact?
It must also be noted that in recent months in Europe, there have been a number of false flag plots where right-wing extremists have tried to frame Islamists for terrorism. We've seen that in Germany in recent weeks. But
the Talib, the underwear bomber, the list goes on and on. The drugged out guys, one of them was certified mentally retarded in 93, bombing the World Trade Center. The FBI cooked the whole bomb. They go out and find retarded street people, okay? Mentally retarded people. And that's the Al-Qaeda. You know, Al-Qaeda goes from these precision aircraft with their transponders and beacons turned off. One out of 100 commercial pilots couldn't T-bone a building perfectly without their navigation system. These guys, line of sight, never flown in that area, never flown a commercial plane flying straight in. Magically, two passports drift down, proving it's them in the hours after, with multi-feet of dust all over lower Manhattan, and the FBI finds two passports magically. I mean, come on. Come on. Come on.
That there are also, I'm not saying that everything that happens that we say, oh, okay, this is set up, this is fixed up, this is, but.
Well, there is an election this week.
So the thing is it being naive, or should we not be naive that because there are people who call out these things, these are Americans also, who also, they want more evidence. They also say that there's an agenda here, that this has, that basically many of these things are fixed up.
It must also be noted that in recent months in Europe, there have been a number of false flag plots where right-wing extremists have tried to frame Islamists.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, like anything.
Not all, but some people. Not I'm not saying that we should believe all, but what I'm saying, and I've heard that we shouldn't be naive to the fact that potentially, because there have been things, events in history, you know, there have been things that have been set up.
The Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam.
Exactly.
It was a big setup and cost 80,000 people in America their lives.
Because obviously Muslims don't benefit from this. Islam doesn't benefit. It
absolutely
just
not.
So now you have Ramadan's coming. You know, so what in the world? I mean, you're going to be breaking fast with your family. You're supposed to be in the mosque worshiping, with your family worshiping, with your relatives. You know, you're enjoying. It's supposed to be a month of the Quran.
Absolutely.
And you're over here trying to, like, kill people. That it just doesn't add up. Well, it doesn't make sense.
It seems that whenever it comes to certain events like this, people don't care about the facts. They see the dramatization of it all on the news, and we all know how whenever something happens like this, an attack happens, that's all you see on TV. There's nothing else in the news cycle except for that. So people get caught up in the dramatization. No one really looks for facts. No one really looks at what was really going on. You have so many different conflicting views of the event. Witnesses there saying completely different stories. But then at the end, they settle on one story, and that's what gets played, and that's what everyone goes with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one really cares to look deeper. In regards to certain events, just like you said, we're not saying everything is set up, everything is put out there to put the Muslims down, But it seems fishy that a lot of the events do seem to happen at specific opportune times.
Mm-hmm. There was the one that happened with Muhammad Ali after his janazah. Oh, Islam was getting, you know,
so much good publicity.
And then just at that time, just interesting, just, you
and,
know.
And the first thing I thought of was like, of course, Muhammad Ali just died. Of course something like this happened.
But the interesting, what do you think, Abu Hafsa, is, you know, when you're fasting, you know how you feel when you're fasting. You don't have much energy. You really want to be efficient with your energy, right?
Yeah, right? Of course.
So now you're fasting. You're not at your optimal strength. Where in the world? I'm just asking questions, right? We can't be too naive that there are Muslims. There are people who have the Muslim, you know, cloak and the name and whatnot, and they might do some crazy. It's again, Islam is free of it. If every Muslim was drinking alcohol, if every Muslim was fornicating, if every Muslim was doing all the evil that's opposite to Islam, Islam is free of it. Is this correct?
Of course.
But what I'm just saying, I'm just asking questions like, what kind of Muslim who's supposed to be fasting, where do you get the strength and the zeal to go ahead when this is the month of the Quran? It's a month of really just spiritually uplifting yourself to be a better human being. Where in the world would you garner this strength to do something evil like that?
Well, this is the thing. Oftentimes what ends up happening, like you said, there could be certain things set up, as we say. We shouldn't be naive to anything at this point. But even if you read the stories of the people that were, quote-unquote, accused of these things, he used to drink and smoke weed with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became religious 6 months ago. It's like, really? 6 months ago? I've been Muslim 20 years. Like, six months ago? What can you possibly learn in 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, that hasn't already been dormant in that person for the last 22 years of his life? Like, people who, you know, come out and all of a sudden they're going and shooting up, you know, nightclubs in Florida, used to frequent that nightclub beforehand, and then now they became ultra religious, quote unquote, and now they become crazy and do things that are not crazy, not a nice word, they become destabilized for whatever reason and do things that they're not supposed to do. But it's very interesting that white men can attack people and they're lone wolf, mentally ill. They're mentally ill, they're mentally disturbed. We attack people, quote unquote, and it's a large worldwide conspiracy to control everything. It's very interesting how that works.
And it's all terrorism whenever a Muslim does it too. I mean, you have the guy that attacked those people in Portland.
Jeremy Christian.
Police say this man verbally attacked a Muslim woman on a train, and that when Good Samaritans came forward to help, he stabbed them to death.
I want all Muslims deported now. Step in, punch him, undercut in the nose. Knock your teeth out. To stab them with it. Stab, stab, stab. Death by a billion cuts. So start shoving the knife in, ladies and gentlemen.
White supremacist accused of stabbing two Good Samaritans to death on a commuter train in Portland.
First stab in the neck and the other in the stomach.
A man identifying himself as Jeremy Christian.
I'm the dude.
Oh, we will bring back Jesus on our shoulders to speak the word of God and erase all you fake Christians.
Giving a Nazi salute and yelling racist expletives. Young women, one of them wearing a hijab, boarded the train, and Jeremy Christian immediately went on a hate-filled tirade, then pulled out a knife and attacked them.
Then I see that there's just blood everywhere. Looked like every punch that I saw was actually a stab.
Police say 53-year-old Ricky Best died at the scene, and 23-year-old Talisha Namkai Meshe was pronounced dead at a hospital. Jeremy Christian.
You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You hear me?
Yeah. Non-Muslim white
Portland,
guy. Non-Muslim white guy attacked non-Muslims,
which were actually standing in defense of
the sister.
Of a sister, of a Muslim sister, and another sister in humanity. And he slaughters them in public,
and he's,
in front
and
of
he's
all these people. But he's mentally ill.
Psychologically disturbed.
He's psychologically disturbed. The word terrorist is not used once.
The first time I've ever heard it used with a non-Muslim like that is when the man went into Quebec City and he shot the people in the masjid. Our prime minister called that man a terrorist, and I thought that was noble. But it's just one time. It's one drop. So we need to... And it's emotional, too. Like, when people see... Okay, it's kind of like if we're living in a house and someone comes and attacks that house, emotionally, it's our emotional response to fight back. Is that right? But when it comes to emotions, we need to kind of put them on hold and find out what's actually going on. When someone's guilty in court, They're not guilty because you think they're guilty. They're not guilty because you want them to be guilty. They're not guilty because they looked guilty. They're not guilty because someone else said they're guilty. They're guilty because evidence has been brought against them, and without a reasonable doubt, they're found guilty. And we have to look at people the same way. Individuals do things individually, and we can't put them on one specific group. If a white person goes and kills people in Portland, he doesn't represent all white people. But no one needs to say that, because that's never been said about him. Because white folks don't come en masse and apologize for this man's, you know, acts. And the same with anyone who attacks concert goers or anyone else, that these people don't represent anyone except themselves and their own twisted logic. And that needs to be put, whether it be the IRA, whether it be groups like ISIS, which is a crisis, mm-hmm. whether it be groups like the KKK, whether it be any kind of group that promotes hatred or anything against other people, they represent themselves in that specific group. Because 1.8 billion Muslims, that's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a very big number. That's the population of India, pretty mm-hmm. much.
Have you guys,
and we're from everywhere.
Have you guys noticed that, I mean, usually the Muslims were usually like, no, let it not be. We're like, we're like worried, like if something happens. There's not that people think like, see, you're ready to give a response because yeah. you yeah, know we're on the same page.
But
like,
see, I'm white, but, so either way, I'm in trouble. It's
but then it's like what they're trying. People are trying to portray the Muslims like, oh, they're happy because of these things. Yeah. But actually, the people who are salivating, they're like, you know, they just can't wait for something like this to happen so they can spew this hate rhetoric.
Yep.
Is the Islamophobes and Islamophobia machine? Have Absolutely. You noticed that? Absolutely. Have you noticed they like love this stuff? You
yeah, know what I mean, overall,
where Muslims are actually like coming together and raising money for the victims and, you know, doing something. And
you may get a blurb of that on the news, too.
Very,
it's
yeah.
It's not like they're going to spend. So, for example, an attack happens, right? And the first 24 hours of coverage where nothing's really clear, terrorist, 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 terrorist. They find out it's not a Muslim. Then you may get 5 minutes the next day and it's dropped,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's definitely a situation where as soon as we hear something happens, the first thing that goes through, I can assume that this is most Muslims, is please don't be a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't say it's associated yeah. with a Muslim. You know?
I get that all the time. I'm man, it's gonna be, and then it's a white guy, so I'm like, I'm in trouble again because I'm
you've been now. I will have to. How long have you been studying Islam, the Quran? You've quoted some Arabic, so you're fluent in Arabic also.
Not fluent, but you can get by.
Have you memorized a great portion of the Quran or all of it?
Not all of it.
A great portion of it. So basically, you understand it very well. You've studied under some great scholars, and you've learned from many.
I had some good teachers.
Some good teachers. Okay, so.
You're making me look good, Eddie. Like
so now you with someone who you ended up converting, reverting, whatever the case, how you know you like to use the word, you've come to this beautiful way of life. When people try to say, okay, Islam is the motivating factor, right? They forget about, again, Islam condemns these actions, even if we know this is like a geopolitical thing. This is not, you know, this is motivated by other things that these people, they end up losing yeah. themselves in whatever. But what do you say, what would you say if you had someone, they brought you on the CNN, Fox News, and then they try to say, no, this is Islam is the root of all this because Islam is inspiring. What do you say with someone who's really like, you know, you've been studying it for how long now?
I've been Muslim 20 years, bro.
20 years now. What would you say?
You know, the thing is, there's nowhere really in Islam that gives you permission to kill non-combatant innocent people. So Islam can't really be the inspiring factor. Ignorance is the inspiring factor. I would say that, among mm-hmm. other things, because you find a lot of these people, when you study their bios, written by... Interestingly enough, all of a sudden, when a person does an attack, they know everything about him. Well, if you knew everything about him, shouldn't you have taken him into control before he did that? But it's interesting, though. But in any case, you often find these people don't know anything about their religion. They don't. They became practicing 3 months ago. Or mm-hmm. they became practicing 6 months ago or 8 months ago. And they before that, they were drinking, smoking weed, you know, fornicating, doing whatever that they want to do.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're holy and they become these martyrs. If that's the case, 20 years or more, people who become Muslim 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, shouldn't they have done it quickly? Because, I mean, 20, 30, 40 years, you'd find something that would yeah. permit you to do some stupidness like that.
If it was based, if Islam was the primary motivation,
there's a lot of primary motivations for lots of things. But since the people are dead, you can't ask them, right? They're gone, so you can't ask them. What was your
What was your prime motivation? He can't ask you no more. He's in a million pieces somewhere.
Poverty could have been a motivation. Mm-hmm. Marginalization could have been a motivation. Low self-esteem could have been a motivation. Hey, mental illness, there's one. That could have been a motivation. That probably was the motivation, actually. But we don't get
People having a nice gathering in Afghanistan or Iraq who are hanging out, and a drone missile kills off their whole family.
Yeah, that could be a motivation.
That's defending the United States in some people's opinion. You know what I mean?
So that's that. In itself, again, Islam doesn't justify taking, you know, innocent life, but people don't really talk about, like Robert Pape and many academics, they talk about this is based off foreign occupation. This is like, so what would people do? They don't think like if you end up, you know, sending a force over here from China or Russia, right? And how would the American public react? You follow me? That people, it's ironic, usually because we have there's perimeters in Islam. But most of these people that spew off these hate, I can just imagine what kind of, if they were able to, what kind of havoc they would be doing, what kind of murder and mayhem would they be doing. Muslims are not even allowed to do that, you know? If the enemy, you know, inclines towards peace, even if
you're supposed to do it.
You're supposed to incline towards peace. Yeah, Allah says in the Quran, Almighty says, don't make mischief in the earth.
Yep.
Don't be extremists. Yep. Everything opposite to what they're trying to connect Islam with. But you know what's amazing, Abu Hassan, is that people who genuinely look into Islam, when they hear all the events and they don't want to be puppets, they don't want to be suckers, they don't want to be fooled, bamboozled, and they look into it. That have you true. Noticed?
Yeah.
They end up, many, they end up accepting Islam, or they say, oh, this is a lie, man. They defend Islam.
Well, that was even since the time of the Prophet, that Umar Khattab was one of those.
Genuine people.
Yeah, genuine people get it. Because, again, like, I don't talk too much about the Middle East. I really don't. Because it's hard for me to imagine what a person goes through who lost his entire family. I can quote you verses all day if I want. But if you lose your entire family, may Allah protect them. Come on, bro. Like, you go home. Let's say you went to a market and you go home and you have a wife and four kids or five kids. And you're a father, Eddie. You know that. Nadir, you're a father. I'm a father. Like, we get it, you know. You come home and see your family literally in pieces in the rubble of your house. There's no rational way you're going to handle that. There can't be. It's a mental, you get a mental breakdown when that happens to you, and you forget what you learned in Islamic school, quite possibly. You forget what you learned at the masjid. You forget those things. And we're supposed to hold to the rope of Allah, and we're supposed to be patient with what Allah has given us. But it's easy for people over here to say that when we're living in relative comfort. I can be patient all day because I'm fly back to Canada and go back to my house. I don't live there. So it's very important for us to establish these kind of things and understand that it isn't ever justified to take, it isn't ever justified to take innocent life. We need to find out, okay, what are these people going through? What are the people, and even the ones that live over here, what are they going through that makes them susceptible to these acts, to doing these things? Yeah. Are they mentally ill? Are they just bad people? Are they just misunderstood and misunderstanding things and confused? Are they poor? Are they chemically imbalanced? Like, there's so many different things that would cause people to do that. So all they need then is one of these people to just push them a certain way. Say, you see, you're oppressed because Americans oppress us, which is not true generally. You're marginalized because they don't like you because you're brown or because you're an immigrant, which isn't true. Generally, it isn't true. Does it happen? Sure. But is it the rule of the day? No. Not every American hates you because you're an immigrant. But you just need one person to point you in a wrong direction, and then you take it from there. And this is unfortunate because we do have provocateurs in our community with this mentality that all Americans are evil and all the country is bad and everything is bad. And we don't believe that either. Just like we don't believe that Islamophobia, you know, is preaching right things about Islam being violent and extreme. We don't believe that when Muslims tell us Americans are all evil people. That's ridiculous. And we don't take either of those positions.
And unfortunately, like right now, for example, Abu Hafsa just made some statements, right? That he was explaining that this isn't what's right. But we all know someone's going to watch this video.
I hope not. Please don't do that.
And take clips of it, you know what I mean? And say, oh, look at what they're promoting. unfortunately, and I've seen it.
Yeah, and just so you know, I've never promoted that. 20 years on traveling up and down the world, I've never promoted anything like that. And I'm not saying that it should be promoted. I'm just saying that people go through stuff that makes them a little bit off sometimes. And it's very serious when you lose your entire family. Yeah.
But if you read The Complete Idiot's Guide to Understanding Islam, you know...
And you watch The Dean Show.
And you know that... Hey. Yeah, you watch The Dean Show. This you know that Islam is free of what people... And from all these things. We're about to come to a close.
Not now!
Yeah, recite to us, and it has to do with the heart. But when some people... They can see, but they're actually, you know, God Almighty, Allah talks about the hearts going blind. Give us something for Ramadan, some heart softeners, because that's what we need at these times. You know, this much of this hate that's out there, it hardens the heart, but the Quran softens the heart, right?
Well, I like the ayat where Allah described Himself,
mm-hmm.
and that always softens my heart.
Yeah,
when the world is kind of chaotic and crazy, as it were. I like to go back to the one who I worship and the one who guided me towards this way of
life. Who Jesus worshiped, huh?
Who Jesus worshiped too, yeah.
Moses, all the messengers of God.
All the messengers of Allah worship, ending with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace and blessings be upon them all. And this is actually what brought me into Islam, and this is what keeps me in Islam, is the way Allah described Himself. And I'll recite it for you, and then we can close, inshallah. I want to come back to the Deen Show.
Inshallah.
And you gotta, come on, man. You had all my friends on, man. Bring us back, inshallah. It's the end of surah number 59, where we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu. A'alimul ghaibi wash shahadati huwa ar-rahmanur rahim. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
MashaAllah. So this is the verbatim for people who are tuning in that are not yet Muslims, because everyone has the potential to submit to the Creator alone and not His creation. That's what a Muslim is, one who submits themselves to the Creator, just like Jesus did. And this is the last and final revelation sent to mankind, the Quran, verbatim word of God Almighty. So What was the paraphrasing? What was the ayah that you recited talking about?
It was the end of surah number 59, the last three ayat from that surah, where it says, "Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu," that He is Allah, and there is nothing worthy of worship besides Him. There is no other gods besides Him. "Alimul ghaibi wa shahada," that He is the knower of the unseen as well as the visible. "Hu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim," and He is the especially merciful and the entirely merciful. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. He is Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship besides Him. الملك القدوس السلام. He is the true King, the Holy, the source of peace. Which, interestingly enough, we say Salam alaikum to each other all the time, which means may the peace that can only come from Allah be upon you. One of His names is As-Salam. المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. The preserver of faith. المؤمن المهيمن. I'm not sure the meaning of that. Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, the mighty, the compelling, Al-Mutakabbir, the proud. And He is, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ لَهُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُحَيْمِنُ الْأَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, that He is perfect and high over what they ascribe unto Him, which we were talking about that earlier. All these crazy acts and different things of that nature, Allah is free from all of that. هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِي, that He is Allah, He is the creator, the fashioner. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, and to Him belong the most beautiful names and attributes. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and He is the sovereign over the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and He is the mighty and the source of all wisdom. This is Allah. I paraphrase, and I know I made some mistakes in that, but this is, you know.
And
read the Noble Quran, chapter 59, you know, the end of it, inshallah.
We've people can hook up with you guys. They want to Islam by touch. And where can they get a hold of you at?
AbuHafsaClair@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's for bookings. That's for any.
People want to invite you out to do a talk to a university.
I'm coming, bro.
That's where they can get a hold
of
you.
I'm there, inshallah.
Yeah.
AbuHafsaClair@gmail.com. Uh-huh. Nader brought me out to support his project, so he can let you know if I do my job or not.
Inshallah. Great job. Alhamdulillah. And it's at IslamByTouch.com. You know, our whole goal is, we want to reach out to a group of people that no one's been reaching out to, and we want to change the narrative for them as well.
Yeah.
So.
One last question in short. Just what at the end, so you attributed you accepting Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation, and having to do something with the Quran, having to do something with this ayah. In a nutshell, tell us, what was it, the deciding factor? You have to go against all odds. Oof. I just need 30 seconds. Do it in a meme.
That's a 40-minute show.
What was it? Something, a piece of it that just finally said, you know what? This is the truth. Because there's a lot of people procrastinating. You know, when you talk to people about Islam, you know, the oneness of the Creator, the messengership, you know, accountability, paradise, hellfire, paradise. You know, all of the things make sense. The Quran never changed, never corrupted, intact. Everything makes sense. But then people procrastinate. You didn't procrastinate. And you're here. You're happy, right? You're living purpose. What was it? And people can take from that. And they can run with it like you did.
You know, the idea that Allah is not like his creation. Mm-hmm. So you can't make a statue of Allah. You can't make an image of Allah. Allah is not black. Allah is not white. Allah is not any of the things that the people describe him as being. And he describes himself in such a majestic way that I was drawn to that. I learned initially about Islam through Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, otherwise known as Malcolm X. And that was his core message after his pilgrimage, that you feel like a complete human being. And I wanted to be like that. And that's very, very short. My story is like an hour long, but that's very short.
Okay, thank you guys. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for being with us on the Deen Show. And thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. Share.
Smash the subscribe button.
Yes, smash it. And support the Deen Show.
Help us reach it. Touch it lightly. Touch it lightly, because we're not supposed to smash things. Yeah. Touch it very light, like this. Just reach over with the mouse. Just go.
Pop.
Hit it very lightly.
Hit it.
No hitting.
Come back every week here to the Deen Show and support the Deen Show. We're doing our yearly campaign. Support as much as you can so we can continue educating and share this message of peace and purpose with the world. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. Please don't forget to like and share. Also, do your best to help us reach our goal. For more info, check in the description below. And in the words of Jesus, Shalom. Salam. Peace be with you.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.